Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
All right, welcome to the latest episode of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
All right, and Judo Larry M, first thing is let's talk about our favorite subject in the whole world, our most favorite of subjects. What is it?
It is pimping.
Pimping!
And as a pimp once say, if you know what you got, you ain't got much.
All right. Anyway, so I have no idea what that means. But this is That Riot Show. If you want to find out more about us, please go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com, where we have all the past episodes posted, blogs, show synopses, everything. Just go to thatriotshow.com.
And 5 questions with Big Fat John.
Just go there, check it all out. Also, if you want, you can follow us on social media. The first spot, of course, is Facebook. Facebook.com/thatriotshow, facebook.com/thatriotshow. Become a follower of The Riot on Facebook. You know, you can join your friends over there. The other place you can follow us on social media, very easily, Twitter. And our account is twitter.com/thatriotshow. If you can start to pick up on the theme there, Larry. twitter.com/thatriotshow. Then, of course, if you don't have time to check out the show visually, or if you just think we're too ugly for TV, Larry, you could always say, I can bear those guys on radio. And if you can, you can get our podcast version of this show in one of many venues, iTunes, Stitcher, podcasts.
Phil,
just as usual, the scroll of all the fine places that you can find The Riot.
Okay,
pimping out of the way. And Larry, let's talk about, as usual, some political news. Looks like, after all these Republican debates, we have all this ass clownery in the Republican debates on display.
Yes, we do.
It looks like we're going to finally have a second Democratic debate. Mm. Bernie Sanders, basically, and Hillary Clinton is what it boils down to. Now, what's interesting is there's a lot of drama this time around. For a lot of different reasons. The first thing is, the Democratic debates itself, Larry, have come under some criticism because, and the Republican candidates made mention of it, it seems as if the Democrats are scheduling purposely fewer debates,
right,
and at non-primetime hours, and there seems to be a conspiracy theory, as usually the case, that the Clinton camp has something to do with this.
Right.
That they really don't want people to have to listen to what Hillary has to say.
Right.
That they really don't want her debating.
Right.
And I guess on some level it makes sense. I don't know. First of all, do you think that's true or do you think there's any truth to that? Or
I would only say that there's some truth to that because she spent the entire summer avoiding the press. She had
that's
no
true.
Press conference. She answered no questions. Anytime they tried to get closer, she actually had them roped off.
Yeah, I remember
which this
that,
man
yeah.
talked about
yeah.
extensively. And you could see it. Like, she was in a... They had these people, like, literally with, like, ropes. And, like, the reporters were, like, trying to get in at nothing. She had, like, her own safe zone.
Yeah.
And she was just walking or waddling through, like, neighborhoods and, like, took... You know, and I mean, part of it's their bullshit about they want her to meet the people and be real. But the I would only say that there's something to that because she's actually been avoiding questions
right.
and difficulties. Like even Bernie Sanders is being up to now is being enormously civil and like refusing to take her on or question her or go after her. And, you know, saying that he's, like, sick and tired of her emails and, like, all this. Meanwhile, the Republicans have taken the gloves off on each other.
Right,
in violation of Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment.
Right, right.
But I would only say it to that extent. And obviously, if you have it on at those hours, you know, later on, and there's not a lot going on, it's really just you and O'Malley and Bernie. you know, then you also have the dimension that, like, nobody's watching, nobody cares, there's nothing into it, and it's on at hours when people are watching, like, Alaska State Troopers.
Well, I was going to say, Ted Cruz joked that it's only on at 2 a.m. in Alaska on PBS or something like that. But, I happen to think that there might be some truth to it. First of all, if you're the front runner by a lot, the way Hillary is, there's no upside for you debating.
No.
You can only lose ground by debating. Right. So from a strategic point of view, I get the fact that she would like to limit the number of debates to as few as possible. But at the same time, it kind of sucks when you have the DNC in your back pocket. So if I'm a Democrat...
Yeah, they're supposed to be...
I'd be upset because there's an obvious quid pro quo going on here, in my opinion, between Hillary Clinton, who is twat number one, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is twat number two, three, four, and five.
Right.
Obviously, Wasserman Schultz is in the bag for Clinton.
Oh, please.
They both have stinky vaginas. They're both of... thank you. They're both of questionable attractiveness, I would say.
Not allegedly.
Not allegedly. But anyway, they're obviously in the bag for each other. There's no doubt in my mind, in my opinion, that Wasserman Schultz, aside from the fact that Clinton might be the strongest candidate, I think there's the whole sisterhood thing. I want to see the first female president and that sort of thing.
There's no doubt they want Bernie to go away.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. They just want this to be a cakewalk. But what I think Hillary's running into, aside from Wasserman Schultz, is a lot of Democrats have actually, prominent Democrats have come out and said, we'd like to see more debates. We'd like the American people to have the opportunity to know what we're about from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So you have people like Pelosi and Harry Reid saying, hey, there should be a couple of more debates. You know, like, I think, you know, the Republicans have gone overboard. I think, what is it? It's almost like a sitcom now. They have a debate a week, it seems like, you know.
Well, they're averaging, like, almost like one a month or something. Yeah. But I got to tell you, no, I actually agree with that. Because this is how you find out about candidates. Yeah. This is how you start weeding them out. We're going to talk later. Some of these people just have to drop out already. Their candidacies aren't going anywhere.
Right.
But, no, I actually think there should be, let me tell you something, especially when you have as many people as they do, look, this is how you find out about candidates. Now, of course, when there's this many, you know, they don't get enough time to speak, and their time is limited, and everything's like a fucking soundbite. But, well, I mean, what the Democrats are doing is just wrong. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz was questioned about this a couple of months ago, and she said, no, there's no need to change this. This is the appropriate amount of debates. Bullshit. You're not finding anything out. And exactly what John said is absolutely right. The reason they want to limit the debates is because it limits, A, she might say something stupid. Right. B, she might actually get bludgeoned by Bernie or O'Malley, or somebody might actually take her to task on something. And then you might see that she's really not a very good candidate. I also think that part of it is they think less is more at this point. Because, look, there are a lot of Democrats who don't like Hillary. And they're a little annoyed that this is just inevitable. And that they really don't have a choice, and that their option is a socialist. Okay? Yeah. Believe it or not, there are actually some Democrats who don't think socialism is so great. There's not too many of them.
Right.
But I see that point, but I think they should have more.
Yeah, I think they should have more, too. So you have that going on. But like I said, if I'm Hillary Clinton, I'm going along with this, and honestly, I would be strong-arming whoever I could strong-arm in order to make sure that there were as few debates as possible. So I don't disagree with her there. But, like we said, there should be more debates. Now, what else is also playing into the background of the next Democratic debate, is that tonight, by the way?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah. Is that there's been this whole dust-up now between the Sanders campaign, the Clinton campaign, and the DNC. So apparently, initially, the Sanders campaign was upset that the DNC was withholding certain types of database information from it. The DNC then accused the Sanders campaign, and actually I think a Sanders campaign worker may have been arrested already. I'm not 100% sure. They accused the Sanders campaign of an illegal data breach of the DNC database. Like, supposedly, I guess, each candidate has their own voter information that's sort of kept at the DNC. Right. So Hillary has her database, Bernie has his database, O'Malley has his database, whatever. So anyway, so the DNC apparently now has been the pivot point of a little bit of sparring between the Sanders campaign, the Clinton campaign. Now this morning they came out and they said, hey, it's cool. We've resolved our differences.
Yeah.
And Wasserman Schultz, who, by the way, I still contend, sounds like some horrible genital disease. Okay? but anyway, so she said, hey, everything's cool. Instead of focusing on our little hiccups, why don't you focus on the extremism of the Republican? You know, like her typical bullshit where she doesn't answer anything at all.
Because she's too stupid to answer.
And if you don't believe me, do yourselves a favor. Go to YouTube and just type up Wasserman Schultz ridiculous interview or a stupid answer or whatever.
90 hits.
She is well known for never answering a question. Ever. Like, even the simple one, like, who's your candidate? She will not answer that. You know, she'll just say, the Republicans suck, they're extremists, blah, blah, blah.
Well, the worst one was she was on with Mr. Left-Wing himself, Chris Matthews.
Right.
And he asked her, what's the difference between a Democrat and a socialist?
Right.
And she couldn't answer. There was actually, like, just blank air. She went, this campaign is going to highlight the differences between Democrats and Republicans, which is the stupidest answer in the fucking world since
every election.
Ever since the demise of the Whig Party, every election has been the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. So she's an idiot, and you know. But I'll be interested to see what becomes of all this, and whether Bernie says something about it. But he actually was for the first time actually annoyed.
He sounded pissed.
Yeah, he sounded like he clearly feels he's not getting a fair shake and that they're all just in the tank.
Well, very, very clearly, he said, now that it seems that Hillary is losing some ground nationally to him, I think his quote was, or his campaign's quote was, we see the DNC with their thumb on the scale, that they don't want him to win.
No,
much the same way Trump is accusing the RNC of not wanting him to win. Except the RNC has been very clear that they don't want him to win.
Yeah, no,
no. You know,
Rince Priebus, the head of the RNC, actually a week or two ago, we talked about that.
Yeah.
He met with Republican leaders and all the bigwigs of the party. They're talking about brokering conventions.
Yeah.
They actually, awful, brought up drafting Mitt Romney at the last second. They have come up with every scenario so that they don't get stuck with Donald Trump. And I have to agree with them. I actually think that despite the fact that the Donald is picking up, but it's within the Republicans. But you know what it is? I saw a breakdown of it. It's really just among like white guys who tend to be right-leaning.
Yeah.
And this is an increasingly small number of the voting base. They showed 87% black people don't like Donald Trump. Almost an equal amount of Hispanics don't like Donald Trump. Women, like 69% against him. Every group, except white guys, he's really not picking up or he's doing it, and he's pissed off way too many people. Plus, look, you need their infrastructure.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, and I keep finding myself, by the way, a lot of you viewers have said that I say at the end of the day a lot, so I'll try to be careful about that. But the end result being that I don't think, I've said this before, I don't think Trump is going to win the nomination. I don't think he can win the nomination. And I think that at some point he's going to sell off his delegates to the top bidder. I think for him it's going to be a business arrangement of some sort. That's, you know.
Nobody's close to me except
Cruz. Cruz is the one that I think picks up the Trump vote. If Trump bails, I think Cruz is the one that picks up that demographic. I think it goes to Cruz.
Yeah, but if he bails, how does he justify that? What does he tell all these people supported him? And they were like, what is he saying?
Oh, he can blame it on the RNC. He could say, they're not going to let me win. It costs too much. I destroy America, blah, 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 blah. His only real option is to run as an independent, and he won't. He could have, the last two elections, he could have run as an independent if he wanted to. He chose not to. You know, so I think, that's why I say I don't think he's really interested in becoming president. Because if he really was, look, in New York, Bloomberg, Michael Bloomberg was the mayor. He ran on his own after he shit on the Republican Party. He switched to independent. And I think the last two elections where he became mayor, or just the last term of mayor.
As a Democrat.
No, not as a Democrat. He ran as an independent. And he ran on his own without anybody's support because he was a billionaire and he could do it.
Yeah.
Trump could do the same thing if he wants to. And he could have done it in the past. My my gut feeling, and I know everybody's saying, oh, he's number one and everything. My gut feeling is still that he really doesn't want to be president. I think he's making a point. He's getting a shitload of publicity. I wouldn't be surprised if next year on the fall schedule, you see the reality show Trump on the way to the White House or something like that. Trump's excellent White House adventure. You know, like one of that. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that comes out. But I think the one that matches Trump's temperament the closest and his appeal is Cruz. I think Cruz is on the whole immigration thing. He's on the whole. Plus, Cruz has a portion of the hallelujah vote, as we like to say.
Yeah.
I think when Carson drops out, I think when Huckabee drops out.
And Cruz is enormously unpopular with the RNC and the Republican elites, just like Trump is.
So he has a little bit of that, you know. So I think Cruz becomes someone that picks up the Trump delegates if Trump, or the Trump support if Trump bails. But to talk about the Democrats, just to finish off, Larry, do you expect the debate tonight to be a bunch of fireworks, or do you think at the end they're going to rally around just being civil again?
No, I think definitely Bernie's going to be civil.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I do.
Well, he doesn't have any fight to him, does he?
Yeah, no, that's really not his thing. No, well, not this type of fight.
Right.
If you told me, if you said, you know, Bernie Sanders, we need somebody to fight for like this homeless guy, and we're going to get like a rich guy to pay for his life, he gets worked up. Yeah. As far as going after the Democrats and Hillary and all that, he doesn't seem to have any interest. It's kind of like Obama fighting ISIS. There's just no interest there. But it's true. If you ever watch like Obama, I mean, just as a comparison, when he talks about global warming or Trayvon Martin or something, he's very animated. You can see he's into it. He talks about ISIS. It's like, yeah, those guys. Bernie, I don't think he might make a point during the debate of making a point, so he airs it and he's pissed off at it. But other than that, I expect them to be civil.
Yeah. And that's interesting. You brought up ISIS, and just to touch on that, that's got to be addressed, I would think, in the Democratic debates. I mean, obviously, it's a big focal point for Republicans because Republicans have always been perceived to be tougher on the bad guys, whether it's law and order, foreign policy, whatever. They're just perceived to be the party that's tougher than of the two. Do you expect the Democrats to address ISIS tonight, and do you expect them to lay out like how they would deal with ISIS, or is that something that they're going to put off again?
I expect Hillary will put out a few specifics about beating them and defeating them. I just saw a press conference wherever she was the other day, and she said we're going to talk. We have to beat them, and we have to defeat them, and they have to be gone. So she's moved to the point where she's committed to getting rid of them off the face of the earth.
So she's hawkish.
Yeah, she's getting more hawkish. Bernie, I saw one speech he made with his usual commie supporters, and he referred to them as barbaric. And there was a couple of insults there that he threw their way, as that they're barbaric and this and that. But
in terms of women's rights, you would think a socialist would be all over it, right?
Well, like, but that's what I always tell liberals and leftists. I said, you realize if these assholes, I mean, not that they're going to get their way, but I said, if they ever did, you would be the biggest losers in this. Because look, in our world, ISIS and these people, their views translate to extreme far right. You know, no role for women. Gays are dead. Everybody who's different, fuck you. It's the opposite of the multicultural, loving and kumbaya that liberals want. But I expect a few things. But again, there'll be a lot of sensitivity about the Muslim community and the language. There'll be a lot of shots at Republicans.
I was going to say that too. But do you think someone like O'Malley, in order to get traction, do you think it's a strategy for him to bring up Benghazi?
It would be.
I'm surprised neither one of them has brought it up.
Yeah. But it's a whole thing of not wanting to fall out of favor with people in the party and all that.
I mean,
he should, but I don't think he will.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think if I was a Democrat who hated Hillary Clinton, and there's a lot of them from what we understand.
Yeah, there's a sizable amount of them who don't support her.
I would, if nothing else, force her to explain Benghazi in a debate. Don't even accuse her of anything. Just say, look, you have this stench of Benghazi around you. How do you expect the American people to vote for you?
Yeah.
And have her explain, even if it's her bullshit lies, like with the email servers and like everything else that she's ever done in her life that requires like a double entendre and caveats to the truth and everything. You know, it's like She is one of the least trustworthy people since Richard Nixon. Well, she is just completely a piece of shit liar. And nothing she says is ever face value. It's always like, well, I said this, but I meant that, and right-wing conspiracy, and I'm a woman, and blah, blah, blah. Like, everything comes from her with an asterisk.
Yeah.
And I'd be, I'm shocked, honestly, that Democratic opponents don't bring that up to her. Like, if I'm O'Malley,
right.
Like, it'd be like, hey, man, I'm a veteran. I've killed people.
Well, that's what Webb
did. I'm sorry, Webb. Like, I would say something like that. You know, like, I'm a veteran, I've killed people. How do you explain leaving Americans behind to die in Benghazi? Forget the Republicans. Just, like, middle, what was increasingly a very rare animal these days, the moderate Democrat. We always talk about...
Well, they're gone.
I don't understand why Republicans are the only ones, Larry, who get this label of not having moderate Republicans. In other words, they say, why can't Republicans be like John McCain?
Yeah.
He's a moderate Republican. Like, if you ask me, so is Mitt Romney, whatever, right? But why is the media hung up on moderate Republicans?
Because they're very left-wing, and they think that conservative is crazy.
Right. And that's why I always say, like, okay, fair enough, if you are of that mentality, fair enough, most Republicans are moving away from the center.
Yeah.
But why don't you ask the same of Democrats?
Of Democrats, yeah.
What happened to the Sam Nunns of the world, if you're old enough to remember who Sam Nunn was, a Democratic senator from Georgia?
Right.
Right? What happened to Joe Lieberman from New Jersey, who ran with... Connecticut, sorry, who ran with
Gore.
With Gore.
Right.
Well, what happened to guys like that, who were these middle-of-the-road, slightly left-of-center Democrats?
Right.
Like, Democrats who said, we want to help the poor... Right, they wanted their social programs, but they knew that ISIS was a piece of shit that needed to be stopped.
Right, or even Bill Clinton when he was in office.
But Clinton,
look, if you remember, programs got their money, but he actually pushed the welfare to workfare program. He pushed people. You can be on welfare, but you got to try to get a job and push them in. In fact, if you saw that. Was it the Columbine movie? One of those stupid movies that Michael Moore made. He actually complained about it. He said, oh my God, like Bill Clinton's doing this. Because he complained that it was actually anti-poor.
Right, right.
But, yeah, guys like that, you know, guys like when we were growing up, like John Glenn.
Yeah.
John Glenn was down the middle. But even they had those guys, the guy from Nebraska, what was that guy? Senator Bayh.
Evan Bayh.
Evan Bayh. He was very moderate. He's gone. He's out of politics. Though, you know what the thing is? That you're absolutely right. They talk about moderates for Republicans. Even John McCain, for whatever you think about it, he actually votes with the conservatives like 80% of the time. His voting record is not very 50-50. The thing with him is they just don't perceive that he's like Cruz. It's a perception thing. Like if you look at his voting record, he actually votes with more often than not. But you don't think of him.
Plus, he's also not very outspoken against Democrats. So, you never see John McCain screaming about, like, what a pussy Obama is, right?
No,
so,
John McCain does it differently. I saw him on an interview once, and he talked about, the Democrats and their spending, and he just went, it's amazing the imagination some of these guys have. Like, he just took a shot at them as coming up with, like, ridiculous things and funding them, you know?
But very polite.
Yeah, but it was very, yeah, well, that's...
So, yeah, so that's a question I always have, is, like, when I hear someone say, like, why are moderate Republicans being ignored, I always say, why are moderate Democrats being ignored?
Yeah. And they are truly, truly a vanishing breed.
Yeah, as rare as a
moderate anymore.
I have trouble with the moderate Democrats. Like someone like even like a Gillibrand here in New York, Senator Gillibrand.
Yeah.
Gillibrand or Gillibrand?
I think it's just pronounced
Gillibrand, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so for example, I know she's been big on women's issues and she's kind of dopey when it comes to that. But I saw her, for example, she actually said when it came to gun control with Cuomo.
Yeah.
She actually said, "I grew up with a rifle in the house.
Yeah.
I don't mind having a shotgun for protection. Right." Right? Like, I mean, where are those Democrats? You know, you talk about some moderate, and I'm not even saying being moderate in everything. Just pick, why be extreme?
Just not be far left.
Exactly. So, yeah, so calm down with the Republicans are at fault here. And I also hear that line, Reagan could never get elected in today's Republican Party.
Well, he can't.
He can't, which is true.
He would never get the nomination.
Which is true. Do you think that a Bernie Sanders would ever have been on the Democratic stage?
Right.
Do you think a Hillary Clinton would ever have been on the Democratic plank? I mean, people forget. Like, Mondale, who ran against Reagan, right?
Yeah.
Not that crazy left. At the time, he was considered crazy left. Yeah, now he'd be considered a moderate.
Yeah, he was considered like uber liberal back then. He got the endorsement of like every left wing group in the country.
Yeah,
and he still got clobbered. And I mean, ultimately, that's the perfect analogy for what's going on right now with the Republicans. What I think the RNC is really afraid of is they're afraid that if Trump gets the nomination,
right,
Hillary's going to clobber him, and not just clobber him like the way Reagan did to Mondale. Now, it might not be 49 states out of 50 like Reagan did, but you know what? It might be 44 out of 50 like he did to Jimmy Carter. And like if they lose again and three in a row,
that's tough.
Let me tell you something. I remember, this is pretty funny, when Reagan won in 80, won in 84, then Bush Sr. won in 88, I remember seeing Pat Moynihan, the senator from New York, who Democrat, Hillary, yeah. unfortunately, one of my favorite Democrats, really great guy, bright guy. She took his seat when he retired. I saw him on an interview show back in like 1990 or something. He goes, if the Democrats lose the next election, that'll be four in a row. He goes, we'll have to move to Canada. You can't lose too many in a row. And I think the problem you're going to have here is, how are they're going to have to do a really good job, the Republicans, of tying Hillary, assuming she's the nominee, tying her
to Obama
and tying her to that record. They're going to have to find out stuff about her State Department time and tie it all in. And
her scandals. I think that despite all the bitching by conservative newscasters or Fox News or whatever, you really haven't had... You've had a few, like Trey Gowdy in Congress, in the House, who have bitched about it. And you've had a few, like maybe a Ted Cruz who's bitched about it. But I think when you're running for president, and let's assume she's the nominee, because the Democratic nominee, that's when I think every Republican like site is going to be trained on her. And she's going to have to answer about Benghazi. And not this bullshit like where, well what difference does it make anymore? They're going to hammer her. It's going to be that whole phone call, like that those famous political ads from years past. In 64, how did Lyndon Johnson beat Barry Goldwater? He put up a commercial, it's the famous Daisy commercial, where it's a little girl picking flowers, and then there's a big mushroom cloud behind her, and she's evaporated.
Yeah.
The implication being, if you voted for Goldwater, there was going to be nuclear war. That commercial, as bullshit as it was aired only once.
Yeah.
And it's the most famous political commercial to this day.
Yeah.
And a lot of people said it cost Goldwater the election, because Goldwater lost like 49 states to one, I think, or 48 to two, whatever
it was.
And a lot of people credit it based on that commercial.
Yeah.
That it was so powerful, and it only aired once, like at 8 o'clock at night in prime time. That's all it took. When you had Dukakis, in more recent times, Michael Dukakis was running for the Democrats against Bush.
Bush Sr.
And they had that commercial of Willie Horton, which was Michael Dukakis, as governor of Massachusetts, had a parole program where murderers could go out on, furlough.
You see them walking through a revolving door.
Right. And one of those guys ended up leaving Massachusetts, Willie Horton, and murdering a family, I think, in West Virginia or Virginia, something like that. And it was a national scandal. They played that commercial up, and in the commercial, even though Willie Horton was black, they fudged the contrast of the picture, so he came out like Wesley Snipes black.
Yeah, he was blacker than Idi Amin.
And he
beat this guy up in his house, and he dragged him down to the cellar, beat him up some more.
Killed
then
Dukakis.
Then the wife came home. And he heard her upstairs, and he ran up the stairs, he got her and beat her, and he raped her in front of the husband who was lying there on the ground, and then he killed the two of them. But you know what you skipped? And for great commercials, you forgot the famous one with Ronald Reagan and the bear. Don't you remember that with the old Soviet Union? Oh, that was huge.
Oh, okay.
He goes, it was Ronald Reagan's like defense for this country. He goes, shouldn't we be concerned about the bear if there is a bear? And you see this huge bear like just loitering around, and then you saw like a silhouette of what was like Ronald Reagan. The bear like started avoiding him, like he was afraid. No, that was a huge commercial. Yeah. That was big.
So political commercials have a lot. And again, what was the one recently? I think with Hillary against Obama, she put up that commercial with the hotline in the White House when it rang at 3 a.m. And the commercial said, "Who would you want to answer the phone at 3 a.m?
Yeah.
Somebody with no experience or somebody with experience." She herself used that against Obama, very famous commercial, and it really helped her at the time, even though she ended up losing the primaries.
Yeah.
It really helped her at the time against Obama. So when you face that...
You know what she should have done? This goes to show you they have no imagination. There was a crime that was committed here in New York a few years back. You see this really, really old white lady walking into her building.
Oh, yeah.
And some black guy just kind of punched her in the face. Yeah. They should have ran that and went... Do you want that for president?
Oh, shit.
That's nice. Awful. Mr. Sizzle. Really.
but now, if she's the Democratic nominee, I think it's going to be a little bit different. You're going to have Republicans running commercials of guys dying under fire in Benghazi. They're going to have the whole email scandal of her like letting classified secrets go over unsecure lines. They're going to tie her, I guarantee you, they're going to tie her to the IRS scandal. Even though that's Obama's mess, they're going to tie her to it. There's a lot of shit that you could tie her to. Not to mention the whole, she's a feminist, but she stays married to a guy who was fist-fucking an intern in the White House.
Yeah.
Okay? So there's a lot that people right now are you hear like Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and those guys, they'll mention, but the candidates themselves are not really harping on it. I guarantee you, if she's the nominee, that shit, cobwebs and all are coming out of the closet.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they should also whip out. They should get that in 94.
My cock!
In 94, Bill Clinton was president for 2 years. He gave her the whole health care thing.
Oh, yeah.
Does anybody remember this? He gave her health care. Here, go figure it out. She didn't speak to Republicans. She didn't speak to Democrats who disagreed with her. She didn't speak to anybody in the healthcare industry. She didn't speak to anybody in insurance.
She just went off on her own.
She went off on her, like, her own little fact-finding thing, and it was completely stupid. And she came back, and it turned out to be a debacle. Nothing ever happened, and it was such. And then they just swept it under the rug, and it was all chalked up to she's a modern gal. Right. And you know the other famous comment she made back in the 90s: I could have stayed at home and served tea and biscuits, but I decided to do something with my life. Remember that? She was wearing that hideous green outfit. The hell she looked. She doesn't know how to dress.
No, she's
but, but at any rate, there's going to be a lot of stuff to hammer her with, but. You know, I think I must have closing this out now. I think this is sad if the race is Hillary and Trump.
Yeah, that's gonna be.
I mean, I might vote for him. That's just crazy.
At that point, I hope Rand Paul runs on the Libertarian ticket. I'll vote for him.
I'll vote for him.
Yeah.
Over those two, I would actually
absolutely.
Vote. I you know what it is, because I really don't want Hillary in there. I mean, I guess I could hold my nose and vote for Trump, but that's gonna be horrible. Even just to have that on my conscience.
Let me put it this way.
Could you imagine the commercials that they could run? All his crazy statements, that weird thing he did a few weeks ago where he was flipping his belt buckle back and forth. Did you see that?
Making fun of the handicapped reporter. Making fun of Megyn Kelly and her period.
Making fun of Carly Fiorina's face. Making fun of John McCain being captured. Who says things like that?
And that's why the RNC just doesn't want him. They don't want to be associated with him.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, in the last election, I couldn't bring myself to vote for Obama, obviously. I couldn't bring myself to vote for white Obama, Mitt Romney. I pulled the lever for Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson,
on the Libertarian ticket,
too.
Okay?
Yeah.
And it's the first time, I'll be honest with you, it's the first time on the presidential level that I voted for a non-Republican.
Yeah, me too.
Okay? Wow. Like, in local elections, I've voted either conservative or libertarian in the past. You know, like for judges or, you know, councilmen or whatever.
The option.
If you had that option in New York, which you do on occasion. But for president, Gary Johnson was my first non-Republican vote because I just could not bring myself to vote for another liberal like Romney. And I sure as hell wasn't voting for a communist like Obama. So, yeah, I went Gary Johnson. Same thing is going to happen this year. If it's Obama and if it's Clinton and Trump, or Clinton and Huckabee, or Clinton and anybody, just about even Clinton and Cruz. I'm not sure I could pull the lever for Cruz either. Rubio might be tolerable, but even him I don't particularly care for. So it's like...
My criticism of him is my criticism of Obama. He just doesn't seem to have enough seasoning.
Yeah.
You know, he's a first-term senator, and...
Yeah, you know what? That's another no-fly. So, I mean, I may have to vote for the Libertarian again, just because my conscience will lead me to it.
And it's crazy, because the Republican field looks like the bar scene from the original Star Wars. Just like a gaggle of, like, weird, kooky people between a Libertarian and religious kooks, and people have no business even running anymore.
Yeah.
But speaking of Star Wars...
Yeah, I was going to say, nice segue into Star Wars, because Larry is the... Queen of the Segway.
Well, there it is.
All right. New Star Wars movie, Larry, out. Heard on the radio this morning they're headed for a $200 million opening weekend.
Holy crap.
Talk about some cash.
Give that to us, will
you? I'm a decent Star Wars fan. Not crazy Star Wars. I've seen all the movies. I know, Larry, you just saw the original trilogy, you said.
Yeah,
you really haven't followed it up.
Well, I grew up a Star Trek fan, so there's a little rivalry
there. There's a little rivalry there. But... I would like to discuss the number one Star Wars fan, Melitha Harith Perry.
Yes. She loved it.
Now, at some point, you have to say, what's wrong with this dumb cunt? Like, first of all, she's on MSNBC, so we know what that means.
Secondly, she's
a black host on MSNBC, so that puts her in the same company as Al Sharpton and those numbnuts. So, but... Here's where I think she's lost her mind. Now, in the past, we've heard her say something like, if you use the term hard work, you're actually talking about slavery. Because the only people who worked hard were slaves in this country. Okay? You've heard her, for example, as a form of a feminist protest, you've seen her wear tampons for earrings. Okay? She is a dopey twat cunt. In truth, first of all, I think she's a professor somewhere, and I can't understand what kind of college would have her teaching kids, okay? Because she's just out of her fucking mind.
She's a college?
I think so. She
got her fucking degree on eBay.
She probably has a degree in women's studies or African American studies or some fake discipline like that.
How to be a cunt with a lisp.
Yeah, basically, yeah, how to be a lispy twat. But anyway, and again, if she's not a college professor, well, fair enough, but I think she is. But anyway, her latest rant that I saw, and I frankly, at this point, I have to think that she's just running out of shit to talk about. She accused Star Wars of being racist. This cunt accused Star Wars of being racist. Can you guess why? It is because she feels that there are certain race messages being sent because Darth Vader is black.
Yay.
Darth Vader's voice is James Earl Jones,
yay,
who is black.
Yay.
And then when Darth Vader became good and became Luke's father, and they took off his mask, what was he? White.
White as can be.
So her complaint was, why wasn't James Earl Jones in there so he could be a good black guy? What a stupid cunt.
You stupid bitch.
First of all, James Earl Jones was the voice of... They never showed his face because it was part of the dramatic process.
And of course he's white. Look at Luke Skywalker.
Exactly. But it's just that it goes to show you how people who want to find race as an excuse will find it in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So for example, I would ask her, the stormtroopers who are evil... all dressed in white.
Yeah, they're all dressed in white.
Does that mean anything to you? If I don't accept your premise, but if I were to accept your premise, why don't you say, yay, the stormtroopers are white. They're evil motherfuckers, just like white guys are. Like, I don't think she made that point. Why didn't she, for example, say, do you remember how there was this other one that I'm sure she agrees with that says, black holes are racist?
Yes, that...
Because suck it, their gravity sucks everything in, and why are they called black holes? And then someone pointed out, they're called black holes because no light can escape the gravity of a black hole. It is literally black. And then they had a problem with that, you know?
I remember that. But you know what the thing is with the Star Wars thing? I mean, you're absolutely right about the stormtroopers, but that's really just their metal, their outfit, their uniform is white. You actually don't know what they are on there because none of them ever take their helmets off. I mean, but that's their...
But that's her complaint against Darth Vader.
Right, but no, but you know why that's stupid? Because ultimately, the Emperor in Star Wars, you get to see him in that last one, he's white. And he's this old ghoulish looking guy with like a sagging face and like piercing blue eyes.
Yeah,
but he's got like blue eyes. Like, why aren't you complaining about that? And why aren't you complaining about the fact that Princess Leia, all right, she's white, but she's ugly.
Oh, wow, you just got a lot of nerds upset.
Oh, fuck you.
That remember her in that silver metallic
bikini. Fuck you and Proffer.
But Melissa Harris-Perry, seriously.
Stupid bitch.
You're like, it's almost too easy to argue on her own level. Because, like, I could say something like, oh, financially, if you say you're in the black, what does that mean?
It means you have cash.
Yeah, it means you're profitable.
No debt.
You're profitable, right? So, I mean, so there's a lot of examples. It's just her... wanting to find a problem with anything related to being black, or to being white. It's just...
Well, so, they've been doing that forever. Don't you remember back in the 80s, there was that whole thing with college professors, how come it's blackballing? But how come like, getting rid of filthy, like bad things is whitewashing? They went through like a whole stupid thing.
But whitewashing was also a negative term. Yeah, it's a negative term. But anyway, so that's what I'm trying to get at, is that it really isn't an objective type of thing. It's really just objective that her world, and this is why I've always maintained people like Melissa Harris-Perry are the most racist people on the face of the earth. Because
right.
To her, there's only two states of existence, white and black. There's no gray, never the twain shall cross or meet, and everything to her is defined by you're either pro-black or anti-black. You're either pro-white or anti-white.
The white is always wrong. That's a pattern with them. You'll never see them take what they think is the white side. You know, like I remember back in the 80s with the here in New York, who was that guy who did the subway shooting?
Bernie Getz
shoots a couple of black kids who surrounded him on the subway. He's the bad guy. This is the liberal point of view from the New York Times and from white and black liberals here and say, he's the bad guy. Okay, then you had the Wilding thing, they attacked this woman, but somehow this woman who was just jogging, she's at fault. Then you had the Bensonhurst thing, the white kids at fault. In other words, if you go through all the things that are, it's always the same thing. The whites are wrong, and the cops are wrong, and the blacks are always, they're always innocent. It's not that way. It's always, you have to take them all one at a time.
Yeah.
Now, it's like, fast forward to right now, you look at that guy who attacked the officer in St. Louis.
Right.
He robbed that store. What was his name? He attacked Officer Wilson.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. In Ferguson.
Yeah, in Ferguson. That guy was wrong. The hands up, shoot, don't shoot thing never happened.
Never happened.
And that cop was clearly just defending himself against a guy who tried to attack him, as far as I'm concerned. That was wrong. Then you come here to Staten Island. That poor guy, Eric Garner, guy choked out. That was terrible. I mean, I understand he's not supposed to be selling Lucy's. But what happened to him? Terrible. You have to take these things one at a time. They never fall down a straight line, always right, always wrong. They never do. You take them one at a time and you figure it out.
So Melissa Harris-Perry, I don't know what you need, but you need to get something. A, to get rid of that lisp, and B, to get rid of your racism.
I was going
to
say cock, but that might be how she got the lisp.
Oh, that's true. You know, it's always been my theory that chicks with lisps really enjoy sucking dick.
Yes, they do.
That's a theory, mind you.
No.
And I'm a scientist. So we'd like to test that out.
Can we flash that in front of
scientist? Anyway, Larry, let's move on. I want to move on to a lighter topic before we wrap up the show.
We're going to be blinded by science.
Yes. There you go. Thomas Dolby. Excellent. One of my favorite songs.
Because it is.
The Rocket. The segue. There you go.
There you go.
Into the segue again. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. Five people have been voted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for 2016. They are... Cheap Trick, Chicago, Deep Purple, Steve Miller, and NWA. Now, I have to tell you, Larry, I know you're going to disagree with me.
Yep.
I fucking hate the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Why? Because it's so subjective. It's like the WWE Wrestling Hall of Fame. They just put in people they like. You know what I mean? That's all there is to it. There's no real voting. There's no real fan. And for something as subjective as music.
Right.
It is so weird to me that unless you have some criteria like number of albums sold number of hit singles, something, that you could start to at least have a cutoff. This is always going to be a subjective thing about who is sitting on that board of electors. For example, music is so subjective. If you ask me, and I'm being honest here, total shoot, I fucking can't stand the Beatles. He knows it. He knows it since college. I am not a Beatles fan, and I'm not saying this just to cause debate. I just fucking can't stand to listen to the Beatles.
Put a big penis right now hitting him in the head.
Don't do it, Phil. But my point being is I don't like the Beatles. He's a huge Beatles fan. And that's okay. It's okay to say I don't like the Beatles.
Of course.
But if there were a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I would say put the Beatles in for a lot of reasons, right? They were very influential. They sold a shitload of records. They were at the head of a massive movement. The fact that I don't like them
shouldn't matter
in that case. So for me, like, who are the type of bands, like, in my lifetime that should be in the Hall of Fame? The Beatles, The Who, The Stones.
Kiss.
Again, Kiss is one of those. I don't think they might.
I love them, but even I know they're
like they're one of those. Honestly, they're one of those borderline cases. They were a glam band that had, you know, like, let's put it this way: if you put Kiss in, you got to put in who? You got to put in
Alice Cooper,
The Velvet Underground. You got to put in the New York Dolls. The New York Dolls. You have to put them in, right?
They weren't that big.
No, but I'm saying the New York Dolls and Kiss had the same kind of influence. The Ramones should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
They're not.
They are. The Clash, the Sex Pistols. These are bands that are in the Hall of Fame and should be in the Hall of Fame. Cheap Trick in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, you know what? And I like them. And I gotta tell you, I like them. I listen to them, but, you know,
why do they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
I mean, unless it's simply based on longevity because they're still touring.
But that's the thing. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
That's what I'm saying. It's like their criteria. Then you look at someone like Chicago. I never liked Chicago.
Yeah,
but then I'm like, Chicago should be in the Hall of Fame? To me, these are bands that are very like...
Yeah, they have a couple of songs I like.
But show me two or three bands today that are popular that will sit down and tell you, yeah, man, if it wasn't for Chicago, we never would have formed.
No.
You're not going to have that kind of influence. Nirvana has that influence. Nirvana deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because they led that whole grunge movement.
Yeah,
they started it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The same thing with Pearl Jam, for example. They deserve to be in the Hall of Fame because
I think they're looking, though, at like a whole body of your work and your...
But that's what I'm saying.
I don't know what it means.
And then when you look at someone like Steve Miller...
I gotta tell you, Steve Miller is awesome. I see him every year. This guy is so enormously talented. He has guitars from the 60s that he bought. He bought one. He'll love to tell you a story about a guitar he bought here in New York City in Midtown Manhattan for $48. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame offered him something like $750,000 for it, so they could put up on a wall. He wouldn't sell it to them because he loves this guitar. He's had it forever.
Right.
But his music is fantastic, but he has a lot of influence with the blues
right.
and things like
so
that.
So Steve Miller, for me, I wouldn't put in the Hall of Fame. But then again, I don't know too much about it, but he seems to me to be one of those borderline characters, and I like some of his songs.
You have to balance this out with the fact that John likes punk rock.
No, I admit.
And he likes N.W.A. And they stink.
Now, the thing is about punk rock, again, that's my favorite genre, but at the same time, I like Steve Miller. I've heard, especially when I was younger, Jet Airliner and...
Rockin' Me,
yeah,
Take the Money and Run.
Take the Money and Run, all that stuff was interesting music, but do I consider it groundbreaking? Do I consider it influential? I don't, some others might, but again, I view it as... N.W.A., to me, without... And I fucking hate rap. But without a doubt, N.W.A. deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. They were the forerunners of a certain type of genre of music. And whether you hate them or not, like the same way I hate the Beatles and I acknowledge what they did, I have to say N.W.A. deserves to be there. N.W.A. deserves, Tupac Shakur deserves to be in there. Biggie deserves to be
there.
Well,
they don't deserve to be there.
Run DMC deserves to be there.
That's not rock and roll.
No, you can't use that argument with them because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I know.
I know you were joking, but like, I mean, Linda Ronstadt's in there.
Okay.
And she's been more country than anything else, especially for the last 25
years. She
started
out very popular. She did like Heat Wave and all those songs. But I got it to NWA, unless it's the National Wrestling Alliance, I don't want to hear from them.
Yeah, NWA deserves to be in there.
No, they don't.
All right. Anyway, you can let us know if you agree or not. So like, honestly, out of the five bands they inducted this for this year, I would only put in NWA, maybe Deep Purple. Deep Purple as well, because they were one of the first true heavy metal bands. So I could see Deep Purple.
Deep Purple, Steve Miller, Cheap Trick, Chicago, and NWA out. Very racial. That's out.
To me, Deep Purple and NWA are the only two that should really have gotten inducted.
Oh,
okay.
God.
Yep, that's all there is to it. I have spoken. All right. Let's wrap up the show, Larry.
Yes.
And before we go, we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Phil, put up a wreath or a tree or something. Put us in the spirit. Maybe put some Christmas music as a bed. You got it, Phil?
Something from Mr. Magoo's Christmas Company.
But you got it, Phil? Thumbs up? Phil still doesn't want to talk about
it. That's what he does.
All right. So, we'll probably do one more show before the year is out, maybe a year-end wrap-up, Larry.
Yes, of course. There's going to be next week. We will do the year-end review.
The year-end review.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a done deal.
And for those of you that may or may not have seen it on our website, there is a Riot Show sizzle reel. So check it out. Go check out our sizzle reel. That's some highlights from the year because we're presenting it to some major podcasting networks.
Yeah.
So you might. Hopefully we'll have some good news in the coming weeks or months. But you know, we wouldn't say it right now. We just have to wait to do it. So until
and check out just recently 5 questions. We had a nice interview with Bernie Sanders and 5 questions. We got a millennial kid to come in and chat you up.
Right, so sometimes you don't have time for the 5 questions at the end of the show, so just go to the website, thatriotshow.com. Check out all the features, you'll find everything over there. Until next time, this has been your host, Big Fat John. Merry Christmas, everyone, and peace.
Merry Christmas!
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.